So, yeah. You know, actually, we're always underboard or overboard with the fighting, really. So
that's what I'm saying. I just...
I'm on the underboard side.
I knew you got it in you. But anyways, so one thing I definitely want to talk about for you, Allie, is like, how did you come up with the Love Isn't Blind show?
So, because so it's a show where the men don't speak, and yeah. I thought that was a great idea.
Absolutely.
The end. I was like, what if men shut the fuck up?
Just shut
like,
the fuck up.
Like, truly, that was the sort of impetus. I mean, specifically, my girlfriends and I would go on dates and just complain about how we'd go on a date, and the guy wouldn't ask us a single question about ourselves. He would just talk about himself the whole time. And sometimes I would go on dates where I would sort of, like, fuck with him and say, like, the craziest fun facts about myself just to see if he had any follow-up questions, you know? Like, I remember one time I was like, oh, I've spent a lot of time in Palestine. No follow-up questions, which is true, by the way. Not a lot of time, but I've... Anyway, I have visited. You would think a little Jewish girl saying that would prompt any.
Yeah, absolutely. I am curious. I almost asked a follow-up question.
It was incredibly educational, and I'm glad I did that. But anyway, yeah. Men asking no questions, and I was like, what if I create a whole show where they shut the fuck up? And I was with my friend Eva, and we, in 10 minutes, had Alan the show. I was like, all right, yes or no round, quick way to learn about them. I'll call their moms. I'll search their phones. We'll have a wild card round. So, like, round two changes from show to show. Like, and I have, actually should go find it, because I have the piece of paper where we wrote it out in, like, 10 minutes. And it's...
Yeah, you should keep it.
It's both changed a lot since then and not at all. Like, this, the overall structure is exactly the same as that initial brainstorm, which I do think is interesting only because there are other shows where I'll really deliberate over what the format should be, like the AI show that I've been like sort of messing around with. I think it needs so much work if it's really going to be something, and it has to be like constantly playing with new technology and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, this I was like, they should shut up. I will say the really happy irony of the show is that most of the men, not all, but most who opt into doing a dating show where the men can't speak tend to be pretty good guys.
I think you kind of have to have a certain mindset as a man to like kind of shut the fuck up.
Even appreciate the concept of it.
And
a man who appreciates the concept of that is exactly who you want in that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's sort of accidentally become like, what is positive masculinity? So the thing that's really nice is like, I was so jaded about men when I started the show that I thought maybe it was actually a bad idea. I was like, if I get more jaded, like I'm just gonna be so negative, like I don't know that I should do this. And it's actually made me so much more positive about men.
Yeah,
now my friend Brad makes fun of me. He's like, are you like a men's rights activist now? Like, let's check out all that. And I'm like, no. But yeah, it's made me more positive because, you know, and there are always dudes DMing me, you know, all day, every day, being like, oh, you should shut the fuck up. And I'm like, the guy was commenting the other day about how, like, I need to switch careers. And I was like, coming from, of course. He was also definitely a Trump supporter.
Yes, of course.
I clicked through. Of course he's a Trump supporter. Like, he has like 109 followers. And he's like angry that I'm making men shut the fuck up. But, because you told me to switch careers, now I'm gonna, like this one dude in his mom's bed, now I'm gonna switch. Thank you so much, sir.
He's just mad because of his erection.
I always blame
it on that. I'm like, he's just mad because you made him aroused.
Yeah, and he can't do anything
about
that.
Yeah, and he can't do anything about it. Angry. I'm like, you shattered your boner.
It's like, you really think going and harassing a stranger is gonna do anything? Like, you know, it's just crazy. Also, because in our industry, there's so many stories about, like, people being rejected over and over and over again by executives, and then they, like, made their masterpiece, right? Like, there's no world in which some troll, like, but yeah, they slide into my DMs all the time and tell me I should switch careers.
Yeah. And you're like, thank you so much. I wasn't considering it. I'm definitely going to do it. Please tell me what more you can tell
now,
me, sir.
I think one of my favorite rounds was a new one, was you asking questions, questions about like women anatomy. There was a couple where I was like, I don't know the answer to this question. I expect you to get every single one. Just know that one. That first one, that vesicular.
I didn't fucking learn about that till last year. That's what I was saying. It was a public cervix announcement.
Yeah, they're very, they're connected to the Skene's gland, you know?
I have also asked men in my life the questions about period blood, because because that seemed so obvious to me when it was asked, and all three of the contestants got it wrong, and every man I've asked has got it. They've all gone for the beer can.
Yeah.
And I've been like, what?
So just so the listeners know, it was like how much menstrual fluid. It was like a dropper, about a half a cup or 12 ounces equivalent of a beer can. And they all chose beer can.
Someone asked me like, oh, in terms of pints? I was like, pints? With an X? Pints? No, we wouldn't be alive.
To be fair, with the amount of cramping sometimes that fucking happens, it feels like...
I feel like I produced a
pint. It feels like you're losing everything.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like fucking Nosferatu is going down on you.
If you don't really... I think if you don't really understand, which they should, but that it's like uterine lining, so it's just like the lining of this small organ.
Yeah.
But, like, I do get that they're just kind of told, like, women bleed for 7 days. And they're like, seven days has got to be, you know.
Yeah. And they don't even realize how small the uterus is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know, you walk into a gyno's office, and every time I'm like, oh, yeah. But, like, you know, it's not something
I'm about to say that what they have looks massive. And for some reason, men don't think about, like, oh, yeah, but that has to
translate right there.
It's not. Like, that massive thing is all of this. Yeah.
But to be fair, men don't know how to count their sizes. Everyone thinks they're 7 inches and up. They don't know. It's amazing that so many of them are good at woodworking but cannot figure out how tall they are. I digress.
I thought that was the butch queens who were the good woodworkers. What? Since when were men known for that?
Sometimes they're good with their hands.
I just don't know who they think they're fooling when they lie about their height. Because, like, I'm right here and I can see you. Like, I don't know how, you know?
I don't know. I think sometimes they're really insecure about it, which sucks because I've always been a short guy fan forever. Always have, always will be.
I've definitely developed over the last several years a real appreciation for short kings.
I think short kings are a really great example of the patriarchy also hurting men because it's us being told, oh, you need a big, strong protector. Mm. You know what I mean?
It's like, well, what are they protecting me from? Other men?
Why can't they just talk to the man?
But, yeah. It's like, what are you protecting me from? Like, what are we? This is not fucking 1501. This is not, you know, Viking era.
But that also hurts the men because then it feeds this idea that they have to be 6 feet tall. But, like, you can buy a step stool. You cannot buy empathy. You know what I mean?
Like, or personality.
Personality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can also, like, not buy good moves in bed. You just got to learn how to do that. Yeah. All of which can be managed by itself.
Yeah. Although a woman did say, because I bring this up a lot. So I interview all the contestants and try to get people on stage that may actually be a match. Yeah. And it actually is wild to me how many of the women I interview, and when I say, what are you looking for? The first thing they say is that he needs to be tall. And I'm always like, why?
Yeah, why?
And one of them was like, well, he needs to be taller than me. Or first she said, oh, I know what it was. This one woman in particular, she said he needs to be like 5'10 or up. And I said, how tall are you? And she said, 5'2. Bitch, he could be 5'6", and he's still 4 inches taller than you. And she was like, what about my heels? And I was like, are you a drag queen? You're wearing 6-inch heels? What's happening here? It's wild. But I will say there was one woman who, her clap back, which is pretty good, she was like, look, you can have your heart broken by a short man or a tall man. He might as well be tall. And I was like, all right, I can't argue.
I would just like to not have my heart broken. Yeah. I don't care about your height.
No.
I'm not going to feel more bad because you're a short king breaking my heart if you're a jolly green giant. I'm not.
And to be quite fair, any arguments that I've gotten in, like, you know, they haven't never gotten physical, but like, any arguments where you like really like arguing about something, I'd rather do
you like that your husband's littler.
I'm glad
I could take you if I needed to.
I'm glad that you're not 6'5" because then like there's this innate fear, which obviously he never put his hands on me, but my god, when you're arguing
he's
with someone,
the sweetest boy. He literally texted you when we were sound checking, yes, I can hear Allie.
Well, he's a huge fan of your show in general. So okay, before we get into our new segment, I know we just talked about your show. But any of your like favorite moment from your show that you'd want to share?
Oh man, there are honestly so many. There was one time I did a round where I just brought female products and they had to guess what they were. And so I brought like a Diva cup and I brought a speculum. I brought all kinds of stuff. But
I saw the one with the eyelash curler. Yeah. And that was hilarious.
And there was a guy who let me wax, two different guys let me wax them on stage.
Wax them where?
One did the leg, one did the chest. I think also something that's, well, okay, some really wild
stuff. No balls.
Nope. Well, he'd have to take his balls out on stage, which I would be
able to do. I was like, can you? Everyone's 18 and everyone's 21 and
yes,
up. Like.
Yes, and, you know, I would do it. But one of the funniest things still was really early on. I was, you know, there's a round where I call the moms, and I call the mom, and mm-hmm. I said, what are you looking for in a daughter-in-law? Mm-hmm. And she pauses. And goes, honestly, fertility. And the audience screamed.
Red
Christ.
And there was one time.
Fertility.
There was one time I called a mom, and on stage, she realizes I'm Jewish, and she tries to set me up with her son. And I'm like, no, I'm hosting this. I mean, it was so funny, though.
That's amazing.
She was like, oh, you're Jewish. Are you single? I was like, this is not
what's happening. This is not what's happening. No.
But I think something else that's really fun is just, like, the city's playing into their own stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a show in D.C. They all were in suits in the audience because they came straight from work.
Yep.
And they put questions in the hat, like, have you ever had a sexual fantasy about Nancy Pelosi?
What?
I went to Portland. Everybody was tattooed. Everybody was weird. Interviewing singles in Portland was funny because I was like, all of you are so different. Like, everyone was just like, just an extreme archetype of something else. Like, they were all, but they were delights. Like, Portland was so fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, every place. And then, of course, as you guys saw in San Francisco, everyone is a software engineer. What's funny, though, is very often at the San Francisco shows, people will start booing when, like, the third, and, like in a good way. They'll be like, whoa, that's over. And I'm like, whatever. He's got fucking benefits. Like, don't give me this shit.
Yeah. You know what else moment I really, when you were asking people the fun facts, and homegirl who was talking about the tattoo, the AI tattoo that she was doing with her dad, and people in the audience were
like, no!
And she turns around, she's like, I'm sensing a lot of negative energy. I was like, that's so San Francisco.
Everything about it was so San Francisco. And to be honest, like, I kind of wanted to roast her, but I do want the show to stay pretty positive. But I was like, bitch, this is a horrible idea.
What I wanted to say is,
it was not even a roast, but just like real talk. Like, because she used AI, for our listeners, she used AI to design her tattoo. Next time, you could employ an artist.
Like, that's what I said. I literally turned to Brittany. I was like, all of my tattoos are custom designed.
As they should be.
And I literally go to my tattoo artist and I'm like, I want this thing and I'm going to pay you to draw this for me and then we're going to tweak it and work it out.
Yeah. It was on the tip of my tongue, but people around her were already getting their shit and I was like, I'm just going to let this go. But it was not.
That's not ideal.
Why the fuck would you want to put something in your body?
It's been AI designed. I don't know. People bang Smurfette fleshlights, but you know, I digress.
I love that was the example you pulled out here.
Yeah, of course.
And honestly, you are correct.
Yes.
They also fuck My Little Ponies. You can get a plushie, and people will like hack them and put little.
Yeah. They'll cut a hole in it and put a fleshlight in there.
Yeah, people are
sick. Really wild.
That's why people are like concerned about their looks and they like are into men. I'm like, they will fuck cement if it's wet. Like, don't worry about it.
I don't think that's true, but I think there's something for everyone. So I just went to Japan and I went to a 7-story sex shop and there was something really small that kind of struck me, which was that there was a whole section devoted to camel toe. And I was like, cool.
It's a thing.
Like, you know what I mean? Whatever you're insecure about, someone is really into. Everyone, but whatever the fuck you have, someone wants to fuck it.
A whole section devoted to camel toe, which is not surprising. I feel like I've seen weird animes where all of a sudden there's an upshot of a woman and like she has a camel toe.
weird,
perverted things happened in anime.
There was also like a whole floor that was just like anime porn.
You could also
buy little anime like dolls, and they were incredibly expensive. And my friend who I was with, I didn't fact check it, but he was like, "Oh, those are just for jizzing on. Like you buy them to jerk off onto them." And
that's the deal.
Fuckable anime pillows. It was wild.
Yeah.
But I put a poll on my story and I was like, real talk, like, is camel toe something that guys are into? And about 25% said yes.
Okay.
And I thought that really made a lot of sense. I was like, about a quarter.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course.
No,
I mean,
kink shaming.
Camel toes is just like, oh, I can now see a little more what I'm into.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't surprise me at
all. It's not the weirdest kink I've ever heard.
No, not at all. There was something so normal about it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
Yeah, because you're like, hide your lady bits except for when I want to see them. And show it to me now, but not to everybody. It's like, what do you want me to do with them? Do you want to see them or not?
They're very mixed.
Jesus
messages.
Christ.
Yes.
Speaking of, let's play our next song, Break My Soul by Beyonce.
Love.
There's a whole lot of people in the house trying to smoke with a yak in your mouth. And we back outside. We said you outside, but you ain't that outside. Worldwide hoodie with the mask outside. In case you forgot how we act outside. Everybody, yo, yo, yo. You don't break
Mona Lisa, break a nigga into pieces. Had to egg some cheesy niggas out my circle like a pizza. I'm way too exclusive. I don't shop on Insta boutiques. All them little ass clothes only fit fake booties. Bad bitch, still talking cash shit. Pussy like water, I'm a mother and relaxing. I would never trip on a nigga if I had him. Bitch, that's my trash. You the maid, so you bagged him. I'm a savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Sassy, moody, nasty. Hey. Put your edge up, all I'm showing. I keep my niggas private, so it's AP all I'm showing. Beefing with you bitches really getting kind of boring. If it ain't about the money, then you know I'm gonna ignore it. I'm the shit. I need a mop to clean the floors. Too much drip. Too much drip. I keep a knot, I keep a watch, I keep a whip. Let's play a game. Simon Says I'm still that bitch. Ay, I'm still that bitch. Yeah, I'm a savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Sassy, moody, nasty. Hacking, what's happening? What's happening? Bitch, I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Yeah. Sassy, moody, nasty. Hacking, stupid. What's happening? What's happening? Bitch, I'm lit like a match. Ooh. And any nigga on the head is still attached. Ooh. That body right, but you know this pussy fat. Ooh. I drop a picture, now these bitches feel attacked. Ayy. Don't let that nigga gas you up and get you whacked. I make a call and get a pussy nigga smacked. This bitch is time I pull it up, well, where you at? Ooh. I'm in a lamb, bitch, catch me if you can. Ooh. I'm kicking bitches out they spot Stally Chan. Yeah. Niggas say I taste like sugar, but ain't shit sweet.
Try me. I'm real unstable when I'm off that YG. Half a jelly friends don't mind me. I stand 5'3 and I'm real feisty. What I need, pretty nigga, palm trees. Got my own money, bitches, nothing you can buy me. Nope. Brooklyn, baby, we can take it there. And if they want smoke, we can put it in the air, yeah. Ooh. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. What you say? What that mean? I don't know. Top shelf, bitch, I'm on the honor roll. Hot fire, make your nigga stop and roll. That booty, ooh, she jiggle like a jelly roll.
Damn.
Chocolate, I'm looking edible. Running through the money, bitch, I feel incredible. Invite me to your party, but I never go. I be too caught up with that bankroll. My dude real hood, mouth full of gold. Real, real hood, do rag on. Ambitious nigga, damn, he got it going on. He just graduated college about a week ago. You can work at
CVS. Long as you don't keep me stressed, cause I need a nigga that's just, yes. I'm not with the disrespect, it's me with that indirect. Smoke them like a cigarette, puff pass. This shit is a girl blunt, I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt, I only smoke girl blunts.
What you say, what you say?
This shit is a girl blunt, I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt, I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts.
And you're back to Black on Black on Black with D Fantastic and
DJ Queen.
That was Girl Blunt by Lykelly47. Lykelly47. Mm-hmm. Just look up the song Girl Blunt. I don't know how to say this artist name. I think I'm getting old.
It's Lykelly.
Mm-hmm. Put your mic towards your face, nigga. No one can fucking hear you. Yes.
Lykelly.
Lykelly47.
I'm pretty loud. I'm sure someone heard me.
Yeah, we didn't want to.
For friends who are out there, you
Shane
tell me.
Will
you
tell
heard
us.
Me. Thank you. Yeah.
Speaking of, we got our special guest, Allison Goldberg in the Izzy Dizzy. So I just want to talk about like women in comedy. So one thing that I feel like we all heard growing up, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the whole thing like women aren't funny.
I still hear it every day.
I still be seeing that. Yeah.
And it's such a fascinating idea to me because it's like, well, have you never dealt with women? Have you never just been around women in your life, period, that you never found them funny?
I think the people who are saying that don't have female friends.
Mm. I mean, yeah, but like your mom, your sisters, your fucking aunts, like when they're like, whether we're fucking in the kitchen or whether we're drinking wine or whether we're playing games.
Funny.
Like, yes, that is true.
Honestly, I sit around and laugh much harder with my girlfriends than my guy friends. Yeah. So men aren't funny.
No. Women are just naturally funnier. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I consider one of those things where it's like we're funnier because of our trauma. Just like black people, we're fucking funny because of our trauma. Like, and women, we just have a collective trauma of like being who we are.
Stand up is driving me crazy because you get so many dudes who literally I saw a show last week or two or three weeks ago. Specifically, I know that it was then because Nikki Glaser was also on the lineup and she practiced her Golden Globe speech and she was incredible. Then a guy gets up after her and he was like, I'm so high right now. And everybody laughs. And I was like, that is neither a setup nor a punchline.
That's just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's just a state of being.
Easy. How is this comedy? And then he just talked about how high he was. But people were laughing. And I'm like, you're encouraging him. Don't encourage his behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Encourage him being high. But yeah, so no, but it's an absurd thing.
Stand up for women is hard. I've done it. I love doing it. But it is definitely like a harder thing. What I ended up like leaning into is just how bizarre, weird, and I purposefully dress extra strange for my stand-up. But we were talking about this earlier. That's just me kind of sequestering myself into the kind of like, the strange, kind of like weird woman role, you know? Like, because if you're a hot woman, quote unquote, you're not funny, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what you do, which mm-hmm. is absolutely insane because there's so many hot, like, female comedians and like,
which is also unfortunate because then it really puts the pressure on us. I don't want to be hot and funny. That's so much work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't have to do both.
Yeah.
You can't do it all.
But there's a lot of hot, funny comedians. Katherine Ryan, I mean, she's too hot.
Do you think it's that men are mad at her for being hot and they don't want, it's almost like because she's hot they already feel intimidated by that, and so they're like, I'm no matter if you're funny, I'm not gonna find you funny.
Well, she came to mind actually, cause she just commented on this, mm-hmm. and she wait, I'm saying the right person, right? The one who does Glitter Room. She did Glitter Room, and she like had her, she had a baby, and she like did stand up. Anyway, I think it's Catherine Ryan, but she she was just talking.
She's great.
She was just talking about how like, yeah, if you don't, comedy's subjective. Maybe you don't think women are funny, and you're never going to find me funny, and I don't care. Like, it's right. Comedy's subjective. Mm. That is your opinion, and other people will find me funny, and you know, which is very, very accurate. But yeah, I think they're very threatened, you know. Mm. I mean, because case in point, the people that I've been complaining about who are sliding into my DMs, the reason why I'm getting so many is because I posted a bit that was anti-Trump, and then they all started sliding into my DMs. It's so interesting when people like live up exactly to their own stereotypes.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Perfectly.
Like, you know, the idea of you being this like insecure mm-hmm. incel Trump supporter, and then
it's
like
just
that's
amazing.
Exactly
what, you're like, yeah. Please dance, monkey, dance. Do more. Like, go storm the Capitol. I know you want to. Please, yeah. Please, absolutely. No, I think it's such an interesting concept because I absolutely agree. Just, you know, for any like female comedians out there, like if you're worried about dudes not finding you funny, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, yeah. it doesn't matter because dudes aren't going to find you whatever. They're not going to find you hot. They're not going to find you interesting. They're not going to, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, so like trying to appeal to that is just.
But stand up is really tricky in that sense because if you are trying to do stand up and so you go to open mics, that will be the lineup and that will be the crowd and that will be the audience. I mean, which of course is like why there's so many sort of like alt scenes and like women run comedy shows, but it is really tough. Like I came into stand up in like a very backwards way because I started by like being a theater kid and doing musicals as we were talking about. But if I had just like done stand up at 22, I probably would have gotten scared out of it.
Yeah, it can be intimidating. All of my like my whole beginning of my stand up career in Austin was it was just like nothing but men, and I don't know why, but those men were extra supportive of me.
Oh, I love that.
But I think too was, and I didn't do this on purpose. I became the cool girl, but only because my jokes were super dirty and disgusting and just like, you know, rampant drug use.
Did you feel
like
you had to play into that though and be that girl?
I just thought it was being funny. Okay. And then as I developed and people fucking loved it and like men continued to love my humor, I was like, oh, this is great. And then it kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh, like I think men are liking this because I become not like other girls. Not on purpose.
You're like one of the boys.
Yes.
Yeah. That's part of the male gaze. It's still within some form of the male gaze.
Exactly. And that's how it ended up. That's how I ended up feeling like I got a lot of that support. And even now, like even in my stand up that I do, like it's really fucking gross.
Well, like, so what I'm curious about is if you had come up doing stand up with women and maybe only women of color, would your voice have developed differently?
I think so. For sure. I think being surrounded by proto-liberal white dudes in Austin that want to laugh and, you know, enjoy this kind of niche black chick who may be hot, but I don't know, but she's really funny and really silly. Like, yeah, I definitely. Because, like, for instance, I've never performed over in front of a mainly black audience. Never.
Wait, really?
No.
Because I have, and they're the best. Like, I have to like, say. Like, they're the best. I performed in Dallas, and I was like, I only want black women in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, they are with you every step of the way. Like, yeah. Everything you said, like, and I'm like, yes! I'm telling you, not just because I have two black women in front of me. It was... They are the best audience.
Well, we give energy. We give you feedback. Oh, our ad libs are amazing.
God. Yes.
We accent a moment so
tell them, honey. Yes.
All of it. And then I was just on the Tamron Hall show.
I saw that.
So cool.
I knew it was going to be fun because I looked out on the audience and I was like, it's all black women. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I definitely feel like my voice might be different. And I don't know how I would be received amongst the black audience. I have no idea. Like, I think that it could go very well. It could also go really shitty.
Now, here's another question. If you were to perform in front of, and you knew that you were going to perform in front of mainly all black, all female, would you change your material?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about it. Yeah. I'd have to really, like, dive into it, because, you know, I have my own qualms about, like, trying to figure out my voice and, like, being affirmed in my, like, blackness, because I experienced some bullying growing up, like mm-hmm. everyone else does, mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I know for sure that there is a certain type of comedy that goes really, really well from black comedians to black audiences, mm-hmm. My comedy just isn't like that.
Yeah, I would say you have a very alternative black femme sort of comedy that doesn't always go well with a traditional black woman. It doesn't. Some will find it rude. Some will find it too weird. Like, it is like the source of what might happen to, like, black nerds in black community, where you get bullied for kind of having this different perspective or just different way of being in an all black space than what they expect.
That would be my biggest fear, because like I would worry that I would show up being my authentic self and with my material that I think would go well for black women talking about my experiences in the salon, like really truly black experiences, and like being received coldly.
Yeah.
Because it'd just be like, yeah, that's not it. Or it's just not funny to them. Mm-hmm. Or my appearance alone might not just be, it might not fit.
Okay, counterpoint. They're coming to a stand-up show.
Of course.
So they gotta be like a little fucked in the head in a good way. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not 100%.
Like, you're not doing a set at church.
No.
You know?
No.
So I like to believe they'd love you.
I would love for that.
That's
like
right.
I would love to be like, this is gonna work, and if the opportunity ever arose, I 100% would perform in front of a black audience.
I think you would kill an all black audience in Oakland.
Of course.
Why are you not doing that right now? Go.
I don't know.
Let's talk about that after.
So this is a shameless plug. If anyone is looking for a comedian to fill an open mic or any sort of event.
To fill your hole.
Ooh, that too.
I'm going to yes and the situation and say start your own show in Oakland. Actually, going way back to your question of did I feel like I had to move to LA, I don't know. The industry is there, and I did feel that way, but at the same time, I look at my career, and the only success I've ever had is when I just made it for myself.
Yeah.
So you should make a show.
Well, it's funny.
I'm projecting onto you now.
No. It's funny you say that, because I actually floated an idea for a show to Queen, like literally on the ride here, because I was like, you know, now that I'm going to have more free time because I'm starting a job, and I've been jobless for like 16 months, something crazy like that.
She did have a baby.
Yeah.
She was in labor for 3 days.
So.
Fucking intense.
Not without work. It takes 7 years to recover.
You may have been jobless, but you have not been without work.
Yeah. Define jobless. It was weird that you were like, I have free time now because I got a job. And I was like, what is that
mean?
But like, now my nights, like, I actually will have time to go back into my hobbies. That's what stopped me. I was like, I just still haven't had time to, like, get into my hobbies. And, like, now I want to do this. So, like, there are show and things, ideas that I want to make happen that I think would just be awesome. You know? Like, just straight up. But, yeah. No, we'll definitely get into that. I will say,
that's my favorite thing to talk about, is brainstorming shows and making people pursue their dreams. It's my favorite topic.
Well, there you go. We can definitely get into that.
There's some interesting stuff happening for moms, too. There is. There's a show in L.A. where you, like, bring your baby. It's BYOB, bring your own baby.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
And it's like a 2 p.m. show or something, and moms do their sets with their babies strapped on.
That's funny. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Like, my kid would be so entertained.
I would
so
love to see your baby on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's get into some more music before we get into our last segment. How about we play... Oh. You know what? Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan.
Ain't Nobody.
Yeah.
Loves me better.
Let Chaka sing, and you really...
Excuse me, I'm hitting it. I am an ancestor.
Are you?
I will be one day.
Yeah.
You're back with Black on Black on Black.
Boom shaka laka laka boom shaka laka laka boom shaka laka.
And unfortunately, that is Queen War. I am D Fantastic. And that song was Queen, Q-U-E-E-N, mm-hmm. by Janelle Monáe and mm-hmm. Erykah Badu. Queen, who would you rather bang, Janelle Monáe or Erykah Badu?
Janelle Monáe.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, it was fast.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe has been in my top for years.
Not Erykah Badu?
No, Janelle Monáe.
I feel like Erykah Badu would be like a...
Have you seen Janelle Monáe?
Yes, but remember...
Right now, in this day, have you seen Janelle Monáe?
You're talking to a straight woman.
Okay,
so
but
I just,
yes, I get that, but we, like... That, I don't think that answer is shocking.
No.
The answer
it's
was so
shocking.
Fast, I knew not to argue with it.
Yeah.
You know what
no,
I'm saying?
I'm not.
Like, she's already
she's locked in. She's locked in.
Yeah.
She's locked
I'm
in.
Also not sure. Like, I'm pretty sure Erykah Badu gets down. I know Janelle Monáe gets down.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I know.
There's no question.
I know they are about it.
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. Sorry. Something's...
Yeah, you're crackling.
Here we go. Am I here? I think
yeah.
I'm here. Okay, yeah.
You're here?
So one thing I want to...
Ooh, now you're not here. Oh, no. Is everybody having fun?
Ski.
Am I back?
Oh, yeah.
She's there.
I'm back.
There
okay.
you are.
It's a precarious
right.
situation.
So where do y'all see just women's humor going and evolving? You know? What do you see next for women's humor?
I think things are going to get dark.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Very. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
The thing that's so upsetting about the wildfires is in LA right now is many, many obvious things, but I'm like, Trump isn't even in office yet. And we're about,
and we're
know?
Still hearing that voice.
Yeah.
And also that we're having this like disastrous climate change situation and he rolled back like every climate protection. Mm-hmm. So I just think humor in general is probably going to get really dark. But I think specifically from women, because I think men are going to be less affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is everybody having fun?
Yeah, I definitely think that when darker or harder times happen, like, you're met with darker or harder entertainment. Sometimes it goes the opposite. Sometimes it goes way, like, you know, you need a whole bunch of really light comedy to, like, balance things mm-hmm. out. But I think that women's rights being stripped away has reignited probably an existing raging fire of anger. So I think that our comedy is going to go darker, harder, mm-hmm. and I think women are just going to just continue to stop giving a fuck, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. It'd be interesting if you're correct and it just got really silly.
I think some will. I mean, comedy is an art, and right? And so in times of extreme darkness or in sort of oppressiveness, art gets really radical and really loud, and I think there's a good argument that women in comedy's art is going to get really loud and really unique to that person's voice. So it can get really silly if that is a person whose radicalness is based in being silly without having any restraints. So yeah, I agree that we're probably going to see some very interesting things, especially for comedians who have made it, right? And are, I'm thinking of, is it Michelle Buteau? Is that her name? Oh my god!
Oh, the black lady.
Yeah.
Who's on Netflix a lot?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been really appreciating her voice. I've gone to see her live. Her stand-ups are great.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Oh, her stand-ups are great.
I need an image. I need an image.
She's
if you saw her, you'd be like, yes, I know exactly.
Yeah,
she's
big voice. Hold on, big voice. Michelle Buteau. My god, am I gonna?
Is everybody having fun while we Google?
Something? Yes.
It's really always good for listeners.
Yes.
She's recently, I remember seeing her stand-up where she said the same thing, kind of like talking about that. How you can talk about queer and transgender identities without punching down and directly calling out Dave Chappelle on that? Like, there's a way of, like, of course you can do comedy around that without it being this oppressive or punching down.
Did you guys watch Chappelle's, like, controversial anti-trans special?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't.
I did.
Speaking of, I
did.
I just thought it was not good. I was just like, you're Dave Chappelle, just like, do better. Like, I thought, like, all the
protests.
We should just be protesting this, just like bad comedy.
Right.
I remember at one point he was like, talking about lesbians who look like men. And then his line literally was, "Okay, sir." And everybody started laughing. And I was like, that is like so 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is that?
Like, you're Dave Chappelle. Just like, do
who
better.
Cares?
Yeah.
So to what you were saying, mm-hmm. like, yeah, you could theoretically make jokes about trans people, but mm-hmm. make them better than.
Make them better, yo. That's not like. You can use comedy to call people in and highlight an experience and sort of laugh at the humanness of that experience without laughing at that person yeah. and putting down that very real experience. And I like the way that she called that out within her special.
Yeah, I had this running mm-hmm. joke in Austin, you know, years ago because I almost got to go on a date with a trans man and because we get swiped on Tinder and everything, and he was like, "Did you read my bio?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, no big deal." And he was like, "Well, are you concerned or whatever?" And I was like, "No, like I'm good." He's like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm definitely. I just want to go on a date or whatever." Anyways, the joke basically just goes into like me just being like, "I don't really care, you know. My mouth is gonna be tired regardless." It doesn't matter. Like, is it gonna be snake tired or is it gonna be
lockjaw? What we got?
Tongue tired. It doesn't matter.
I saw another one where a woman was like, "I don't care how you identify, as long as you identify a man who's paying this check." That's because I'm broke, baby. As long as you paying this check, I don't care.
Yeah. So I mean, there's ways to like highlight the human experience.
Also, kind of like, just like, not a joke, but real talk. I have a friend who's bi, and she's like, "Trans people are the best of both worlds." Like, she loves it. She's like, it's. I want a little of column A, a little of column B, and now I got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, you can literally, all of those interesting conversations are just human experiences mm-hmm. where you don't have to punch down. There's no punching down to be doing. You're just talking about whatever's happening.
Yeah, I just always kind of feel like just like, be more clever. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? If you're punching down, I'm just like, you could have spent more time writing. Like, you just, you know what I mean? It's just not going to be as clever. I don't know.
Do y'all feel like...
I hate when people are like, "Oh, if we're just sensitive, people can't take a joke nowadays." I'm like, write better jokes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But those are the same people who flip out when we're like, men are, you know, difficult. And they're like, no, not all men. I'm like, okay, snowflake. Yeah, so one last thing I want to talk about is, what are our thoughts on female gross outs? I love them. I love gross outs for like female comedy.
Female gross outs. Just define that, please.
So grossing out is like a type.
You mean like your entire set?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like
we already had this conversation.
Yeah. Female gross outs are fucking hilarious to me. I loved what you did with Love Isn't Blind. You had the menstrual blood. You drank it. You know.
The guy
drank some of it. You know, and the bridesmaids in the scene where they're all like shitting in the toilet because they have. Yeah. That's a gross out.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where, like, you know, they do the female version of the Wade Boggs episode mm-hmm. and they all start like shitting and vomiting because mm-hmm. they do ayahuasca. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. I love when we do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I actually have the same exact comment as the previous topic, which is, make it clever as well. Like, yes. I don't want it to be like gratuitous, like you're being gross just to be gross. But if you're disgusting and there's a fantastic punchline, I'm so mm-hmm. in.
100%.
You would love clowning. Hear me out. Okay. There's a new art form that is happening in LA. I actually hate that they call it clowning because you think of like fucking birthday clowns.
Yeah.
They're calling it clowning. But it is unbelievable. It's this very, very grotesque physical comedy. I understand why they're calling it clowning because they're like connected. Okay, so like one of the quintessential examples is there's this woman, Natalie Palamides, and she created a one-man show. I'm doing air quotes. Uh-huh. It's her in drag, topless, chest hair painted on the whole time. Uh-huh. It's unbelievable. It's disgusting. By the end of the show, she's like covered in like dirt and water. Mm-hmm. She strips down naked. She's got a huge fake dick that she's jerking on. I mean, it's like unreal. It's
That's
so
hilarious.
Gross, but it's also absolutely brilliant physical mm-hmm. comedy.
Yeah.
It's brilliant commentary on
comedy. Masculinity.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And it's so good that her weird fucking performance art was bought by Netflix, and it's a Netflix special. So you can go watch it. It's called Nate. But it's unbelievable. Nate, okay. And so it is this whole like form that is really like happening in LA, and yeah. it makes me so grateful to be living in LA, and I'm not even a part of that world. Yeah. I just like to watch. I just yeah. love that.
We all like to watch.
Voyeurism is a wonderful thing.
Oh my God.
That reminds me of Dracula. I really like Dracula.
Yeah, but it's very, very gross, and that's like part of it is it's so grotesque. But I've seen some where it feels like it's grotesque for the sake of being grotesque.
Right.
It's grotesque, and it's like so different. There's this clip
like there's that, social commentary
yes.
in there.
Yeah. 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 Then I'm just all
I,
in.
I, oh, like I love it. That's definitely like my
yeah,
theme
your, that's
of comedy. So mm-hmm. we should definitely explore that. But I want to say thank you so much, Allison Goldberg, for being here. We are honored
me.
To have you here.
When's the next time you're going to be back in the city?
So
February
we have
21st.
Yes.
Love Isn't Blind, February 21st at the Foundry. And tickets are on sale at loveisn'tblind.com.
Yes. Please check that out. We will be back there for sure. Sure. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Black on Black on Black. Again, we will not be here next week because it is MLK Day, and our black asses refuse to work on that day.
I'll be here hosting. Me the whole time talking to myself.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're
thank welcome. You, Allie. So up next, we have Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. Whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of hell with John Hell. And he's actually going to have a special guest band called Illogistical Resources Department on. So please tune in, drop in, you know, drop out, whatever, acid.
Good night.
Thank you all, and have a good night. And we're going to play out with Killing Me Softly with his song by Roberta Flack.
Good night.
Goodbye.